Great. Well, thank you, Kirk, for the introduction. I always love it when Kirk chairs. I've known Kirk since I was 5 years old back at the Guelph Bible Chapel. And he's a great friend. I just wish that my kids were as enthusiastic every time I spoke as Jerry is. this message, like any of mine, shouldn't come as a shock. It's going to be fairly brief. As you know, I appreciate the prayers for my health lately. My focus is absolutely shot, but by the grace of God, we'll get through this. Everybody has a unique gift, and when we look at the speakers here at the chapel, we're very blessed. We have my father, Steve, and Matt, both taking us through books of the Bible right now with Genesis and Revelation. We're getting the beginning and the end. And it's up to Chris to fill everything in between. He does the nice themed messages, and either based on a letter, or we've had our last three messages on our Christianity with three A's. Do we remember what they are?
Abounding, abiding, assuring.
Okay. See, they're listening, eh?
Wow.
And of course, my gift is to make sure each of you get home before the dinner is burnt. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to read the whole chapter, because I like it. Yeah. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We are not going to expound on the whole chapter there, but it's it's a context that definitely fits what I will be speaking on today. Recently, I was very blessed to reconnect with an old friend and brother in Christ that I hadn't seen really in years socially. We attended the youth group together, we golfed, we drove around in his car when we were teenagers, and driving was a really big deal. He came into my shop, and we got to chatting and just generally catching up. We decided that we would make an effort to get together once a week for a coffee. And so far, we've been fairly decent at keeping that going. I forgot how much I missed talking to him. I was also very pleasantly surprised to hear how much of his life he relates to scripture references that he draws on for encouragement. It was really nice to hear, and it's been a great source of encouragement for me. A while back, I gave a message on the importance of church attendance. Too many times we see other things in this life distract us from gathering Sunday mornings to worship our Lord. If it's not the most important priority for you on Sunday morning, then your priorities are wrong. But I'm not talking about that today. There's another important thing we need to make sure we don't neglect as believers. And although it can happen on Sundays, it needs to happen throughout the week as well, and that's fellowship. Fellowship is essential to the Christian's walk. It connects us to the rest of the body of Christ. Have you ever heard the term use it or lose it? Okay. Quite simply, it's a phrase that reminds us to practice our skill set to keep sharp, or if you were to use it in terms of the body, you exercise to keep strong. If we as Christians disconnect from the rest of the body of Christ, our gifts and our spiritual walk will begin to erode and fade. We become weak and ineffective for Christ's use. Philemon chapter 5, verse 6. Or Philemon 5 and 6, sorry. It's only one chapter in Philemon. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the knowledge, acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Even in the Old Testament, we see references where the fellowship of godly men was essential and beneficial. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16, we read, "And Jonathan's Saul's son arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God." With our human body, nutrition is essential for growth. Putting in the proper vitamins and minerals, good fats versus bad fats, counting calories, and exercising all help to keep a body strong. But another thing that a properly balanced, healthy lifestyle can do is heal the body, or parts of it, when they are sick or injured. In the church, fellowship is one of those healthy Christian lifestyle choices that can affect one's spiritual health. And if it's not maintained, your walk with Christ can deteriorate. When we are physically hurt or sick, we turn to medicine and seek proper medical attention to fix our ailments. We should be looking to the Word of God and fellowship with other believers to do the same for our spiritual needs. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Excuse me for one second. Are you embarrassed to be a Christian? Are you afraid to take a stand for Christ? It's easy to say you shouldn't, or shame on you, but it does happen. We see that when our Lord Jesus could have used a friend the most, Peter denied him 3 times. We're not perfect, but we need to strive to be stronger. Our brother Dave Mills, before he went to glory, always asked, "If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?" It's an important question. There may be instances in your life when you've done nothing wrong or said nothing out of place or dishonoring to the Lord, but the people you have around you are behaving in a despicable manner. You run the danger of being guilty by association. Taking time and making an effort to be around other Christians, both in church and out, will also make you guilty by association. You may say or do nothing extraordinary, but people will know by the company which you keep where you will stand. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. We all need encouragement to grow. We can't expect to do that without proper encouragement, an occasional helping hand to steer us in a certain direction, or to offer a scripture verse that perhaps we ourselves hadn't considered. It's essential to spend time with other believers. It gives us the opportunity to learn from those brothers and sisters who have had the privilege of walking with the Lord closely for more years than you have. And it presents the opportunity for you to encourage others who are your junior in the faith. This is a cycle that, if properly maintained, will help keep the bond of believers and the testimony as a whole of the church as strong. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Romans 1:12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. I know I've touched on these verses in a previous message, but these verses coming up represent the signs of a healthy church. And one of these references in particular highlights why brethren assemblies place a great importance on the breaking of bread service. And for those listening on the internet that may not know what that is, breaking of bread is often referred to as a communion service by other denominations. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Hebrews 10:24-25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. And finally, fellowship is an outward sign of true redemption. If you're truly converted, it will show through your attitude towards your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all flawed individuals. We all have a godless past, but we now share a hope in Christ that secures our future. The little quirks that we all possess should not be a deal breaker when it comes time to gather together with the other saints. There's a big difference between personality clashes and doctrinal ones. Doctrine cannot be compromised, and if a brother or sister in Christ is steadfastly clinging to what you consider a harmful or misleading doctrine, that is a fair reason to disassociate with them. But if it's a matter of personality, it prevents you a perfect opportunity to practice patience and love, which is what's expected of us that have experienced the very same thing from our Lord Jesus Christ. That which holds us together is greater than that which divides us. Ephesians 4:2-3. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Romans 15:2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. 1 Peter 4:9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Hebrews 13, verses 14 to 16. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I hope this very brief message can serve as an encouragement to fellowship with other believers. It's a very beneficial relationship to both yourself and the other saints with whom you fellowship. It will push you to be a better Christian, a better witness, and it will give you purpose. Knowing you're not alone in your faith can be tremendously uplifting. So please, put yourself out there and be ready to participate in the wonderful company that we all share in Christ Jesus our Lord. Luke, would you mind closing the service in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message you brought to us today, Lord. Message of fellowship with our brethren. We thank you for this small church that we have. Thank you for the brethren that we all have, that we share fellowship with each other. Fellowship in the true word, Lord, in our true Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for our brother Dave for bringing this message to us, Father. We pray for him and his health. Pray, Lord, that you part us now with your blessing and that it would be your will. We would be brought back together next Sunday to worship in your heavenly name, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.